this morning. Matthew chapter 11, and we will read in your hearing verses 28, 29, and 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We have a number of families that are traveling this morning, so let's keep those families in prayer this morning, that God will protect them and keep them. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is life to us. It reveals to us who you are and who we are in you. And now, God, we sit in your house this morning in need of a word from you. We've heard a lot this week, but now we need to hear from you. God, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive all that you have to say to us today. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Give us eyes to see what we need to see this morning. God, I thank you that every distraction is removed now in the name of Jesus. Whether it's internal or external, it must submit to the presence of the Lord in this moment, in the name of Jesus. And God, we cast out fear this morning, for you have not given us the spirit of fear. And as long as you are in control, we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to have a bowed down head. We have no reason to have unrest this morning. Hallelujah. But you promised that you would keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on you. Hallelujah. And then you said your peace will guard our hearts. Hallelujah. God, stand guard at our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. You said, great peace have they that love your law. And God, we love your law. All of your ways are right. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word and what you're going to say to us this morning. Bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28. Jesus looks at the crowd after giving a prayer of thanksgiving, and he says these words. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. This is the word of the Lord. This particular text, I feel like I have been aware of this text all of my life. I feel like from Sunday school on up, I've heard this text. And I was thinking this week, I think I was about 18 or 19 years old, the first time I actually preached a message from this text. I remember we used to have street services. We don't do that now because we're modern or ashamed, one or the other. But we used to have street services. And I remember this was one of the first messages that I preached out in the street services, streets of Washington, D.C., on the corner of Dick Street and 34th Street. I stood there and I preached this message. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And quite honestly, I think every preacher ought to preach this text at least 5 or 6 times throughout their ministry, because it is an important text. But this week, as much as I thought I knew about this text, through some additional study and prayer, God showed me some things in this text that I've missed all of these years. And I'm going to share those things with you this morning. But I want to highlight, though, that is the power of the Word of God. No matter how many times you've read a text, don't skip over the details. Don't say, "Well, I don't have to turn to that scripture because I know that scripture already." Come on, because the Bible is living. It is quick. It is alive. Come on, and the Word of God is always showing us things that we didn't see. Listen, the Word of God is like a diamond. No matter how many ways you turn it, there's always a different angle from the same diamond. It is precious, and that's why the devil don't want you to read the Word. He don't want you to study the Word. He wants you to think, "Oh, I know that already." But let me tell you, you don't know what you think you know. I thought I could preach this text in my sleep. I didn't think I needed to study anything extra. And then round about Wednesday, I just felt the unction. Why don't you look up some of these words in this text again? Refresh yourself. And God has showed me some things about this text. The first thing I want you to know, that this text is considered an evangelistic text. Is evangelistic because it is a standing invitation for people from any place at any time to come to Jesus. It's a standing invitation to those who don't have a relationship with God to have fellowship with Him. And the invitation is still good. It still stands today. He's still saying, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said it to the people that he was talking to many years ago, and the invitation still stands today. Now this invitation is a general invitation, and it is a specific invitation. It's general in the sense where he just stands openly and publicly and says, "Come to me." That means if you can hear me say "come," I'm talking to you. It's a general invitation. We know about invitations. You can accept an invitation or you can reject it. When you get those invites, you can say, "Sorry, that doesn't work for me." Or you can say, "Sure, I'll be right there." But he just stands up and he says, "Come to me." That means my door is open. If you want to come, you can come. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you. I'm just saying my door. Oh, y'all ever work for a company and they said they have a door, open door policy, and then you go to that door and that door is shut? That's not what Jesus does. He has an open door. Matter of fact, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Come on, that's what he says. So it's a general invitation. But then it's a very specific invitation because he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." He says, if you are tired of carrying heavy burdens, this invitation is for you. This is specifically, "I've come. I'm standing on the street corner and I'm inviting anybody who is tired of carrying heavy burdens." He says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Understand this. Last Sunday, I encouraged you to invite your friends to come to Jesus and to bring them to Jesus. But when I look at this text, I want to remind you that some people are not going to come to him until they get tired. Come on, somebody. Some people are not going to come to him until they get tired of doing things their own way. They're not coming until they're tired of life beating them up. So you got to keep on inviting them, because maybe they're not tired today. So invite them next week, because a whole lot can happen in 7 days. And one thing I know about life, Life has a way of making you tired. Come on, somebody. Life will tire you out. I was talking to my sisters the other day. We were planning something for my parents, and I just mumbled under my breath. I said, man, I'm tired. I'm worn out. One of my sisters said to me, well, why are you so tired? I said, first of all, I've been living for the past 47 years. Come on, it takes work to be alive. I'm tired. That's why when people leave this earth, we say rest in peace. Never mind, y'all. Y'all too serious this morning. Come on. Life will wear you out. And so Jesus says, if you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, come to me. Allow me to make this practical for you. If this invitation still stands today, I want you to understand that there's two ways that we come to Jesus today. The first way we come to him is that we must first acknowledge him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must first acknowledge him. Lord, you are Lord of all. You are Lord over all. I believe in you. I acknowledge you as King and Master of the universe. I acknowledge you in all of your ways. I am coming to you as an acknowledgement of you. So we come to him because he is our Father, and we worship him because he is King. And we are saying, Jesus, you are Lord, you are Master, and I'm coming to you. I acknowledge your lordship over my life. The second thing you must do is acknowledge your need for him. You acknowledge him, and then you acknowledge your need for him. You say, Jesus, I need you in my life, in every area of my life. Hebrews chapter 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It is this acknowledgement that in my time of need, I come to you because I know that you can supply all of my need according to your riches in glory. I want you to know that God responds to people who acknowledge him. He's not going to force provision on you. He's not going to force protection on you. He's not going to force joy and peace and rest on you. If you want it, you have to acknowledge him and ask him for it. He's not going to make you do things his way. If you want to do things your way, he will allow you to do it your way. But he says, if you want a better way, just come to me. If you want joy, come to me. If you want peace, come to me. You can do it your way, but let me tell you, you don't know what I know. Come on, somebody. You don't know what I know. You can try your way. And when you get finished trying your way, come to me. And then the first thing he says, you will obtain mercy, because you're asking for grace, but you need mercy. Come on, somebody. Because you are approaching a holy God. And before you approach a holy God, you must first have a conversation with mercy. Come on. Because you don't deserve to go into his presence. And then he says, and you will find grace to help. Isn't it good to know that we can find grace to help in our time of need? But grace is enforced upon you. You must come to him and ask him for it. So he meets all of our needs. In this text, we find out that one of the needs that we have is the need for rest. So this text here is an invitation for divine rest. So let's talk about divine rest for a minute. Here is one of the things that I have missed for many years in this text. The first thing we have to acknowledge is that the first time we see the concept of divine rest is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 says, on the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Genesis 2, 2. So what does it say? I know if you spend half a minute in Sunday school, you know that on the seventh day, God rested. Now, most of us think of rest as disengagement from the cares of life or worry. It's disengagement from the task of life. And when we think of rest, we think of going home and taking a nap, and getting some rest. When we are seeing somebody who looks worn out, what do we say to them? Go home and get some rest. Lay down. Go on vacation. Chill out. We think of going to sleep. Some of us are going to sleep right now. Wake up, y'all. We're almost through here. That's what we think about when we think about rest. But in the ancient world, rest was what happened when a crisis had been resolved. Rest is what happened when stability had been achieved. Rest is what happened when things had settled down. In other words, rest is what you do when everything is okay. When a king rests on his throne, he is sitting in his position of power. Kings rule from a seated position. When you go into court, court is not in session until the judge sits down. And when the judge issues their ruling, they issue their ruling from a seated position. In fact, in the Bible days, when you went to class, the teacher sat down and everybody else stood up. Let's try that right now. No, never mind. Never mind. Y'all not ready for this, huh? So kings and judges rule from a seated position. So you say that the king is resting on his throne. God is both king and judge of the earth. Come on. And he rules what he created from a seated position. Come on. I want you to understand something, that when the Bible says that on the seventh day, God rested, God did not take a nap because the past 6 days of work wore him out. Come on, somebody. He didn't rest because it was difficult and arduous for him to create the universe. The Bible says he never sleeps and he never slumbers. Come on, somebody. That's what the Bible says. So on the seventh day of creation, when the Bible says he rested, that means that after he created the universe, he sat on his throne as king and judge over all that had been created. And he sat down because order had been restored. Come on, somebody. He sat down because chaos had been brought in order. He sat down because the crisis had been resolved. He sat down because stability had been recovered. And I want you to know this morning that he is still sitting down. Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. He's still resting on his throne. He is not in a state of chaos or confusion. Come on, somewhere. He is still sitting, resting as king and judge over the universe that he created. And when he issues, a ruling from his seated position. Nothing that he created can override his ruling. When he makes a decision, come on somebody, from his seated position, nobody can rise up and say, I need to appeal. There is no appellate court in heaven. He is the judge over all. And everything is subject to him. Let me tell y'all something. Every storm has a master. I don't care if it's a storm on the ocean or the storm in your body. Every storm has a master. And Jesus is the master of every storm. Ask the disciples. He knows how to speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. Why? Because he's seated on his throne. He is resting. So after he created everything, he sat down as king over everything that he created. The second place that we see divine rest is Exodus chapter 20, where he commanded Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, he told them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. So he gave them commandment to keep the Sabbath. Let me help y'all understand something here. This day was not given to them to teach them work-life balance. Come on. This day wasn't given to them as a day just to chill out and hang out with your family. Yes, work-life balance is important, and we ought to practice that, but that's not what this is about. The real purpose for the day, for the Sabbath day, was for them to acknowledge his rest, his rule over them. That's why it was a day of worship. So throughout the week, you do your work. You master your work. But on the seventh day, I want you to acknowledge that I'm the master over you. Come on, somebody. Come on. So you rest in acknowledgement of my rest. Come on. That I am resting on the throne. So it was a day of worship. It was a day for them to go before the king who is sitting on his throne and worship the king. That's what you do when you go before a king as they sit on their throne. You bow down before the king and you worship the king. And he says, I want you to acknowledge my rest, my authority. I want you to acknowledge that the only reason that your world is not in chaos is because I am still ruling over you. The only reason that you are able to work is because I'm holding everything together. The only reason you are able to harvest the crops because every morning I speak to the ground and I cause the ground to produce. The rain comes because I send it. The grass grows because I make it. Your muscles work because I created them to work. And you must acknowledge my rule over everything. It's not a day to chill out and hang out and barbecue. No, it's a day to acknowledge the king of the universe who is worthy of worship because he's holding everything together. So when we get to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gives an invitation to those who are standing there to participate in divine rest. He says, come unto me and rest. Now, understand, Jesus is not giving an invitation to come and take a nap. Come on, somebody. He's not giving an invitation to come and disengage from life. He's not saying, hey, I got a cabin up north. If you ever need some rest, just come up to my cabin and you can rest. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. This invitation is an invitation to submit to the kingship and the judgeship of God. Come on, somebody. This is an invitation to submit to the rule of God. This is an invitation to submit to the authority of God. He said, you cannot have rest in this life without God. Come on, somebody. You cannot have rest in this life. That's why you're tired. That's why you are weary. Why? Because you are still under self-rule. So this, hear me, is an invitation to get off of the throne of your life and submit to Jesus as the king over your life. It is an invitation to give up self-rule. If you rule yourself, it will wear you out. Why? Because there's things that you can't figure out. There's battles that you can't fight. There are things that you understand. Self-rule is tiresome. So Jesus said, if you are tired of ruling yourself and you want to give that over to somebody else so you can get some rest, come to me. Come on. I got an answer for you. Look at what he said. He says, take my yoke upon you, verse 29, and learn from me. I got something to teach you. Come on. For I am meek and lonely in heart. I come from a good place. I want what is best for you. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. He mentions the word yoke. So, let's talk about yokes for a minute. Just like there is a divine rest, there is also a divine yoke. Because he said, take my yoke upon you. Come on. You want my rest? Get my yoke. You can't have my yoke. Here's what we want. Come on, it's 2020. We want the rest. We don't want the yoke. Come on, somebody. Come on. What is a yoke? Let's talk about that for a moment. A yoke is a wooden harness that was placed on the neck of oxen. So the farmer would put two ox together, put a yoke on their neck. And the purpose of the yoke was to train the ox so that the ox could do what the farmer wanted the ox to do. So that the ox will go in the direction that the farmer wants him to go. Because the ox has his own way. The ox doesn't care about the harvest. The farmer cares about the harvest. So the ox has to be trained. And there's one place on your body that can control everything you do. If you get a hold of somebody's neck, their body is going to do whatever you tell them to do. So what does he do? He puts a yoke on them to train them. And guess what? The more they submit, the easier it becomes. Come on, somebody. Y'all hear what I said? The more they just went along with the program, the easier it became. Stop resisting. Here's the thing. That was the problem with the oxen, because they were stubborn like some of us. And it took some bruises around our neck to realize that it's better to do God's way. If you want to rest, do it God's way. But here's something else, and I didn't know this until I studied this week. The farmer, hear this, would often pair up an older, mature ox with a young ox, so that the old ox could teach the young ox how to submit. Come on, that's called discipleship. Come on, somebody. See, the old ox already figured out. Come on. It's a lot easier if you just keep your head down and just go. You all young buck, you see what? Stop doing all of that. Slow down. Because guess what? When we're yoked together, we go in the same direction. And if somebody don't submit, somebody's neck is going to get broke. Let me talk to the singles for a minute. Singles, last Sunday I told y'all, don't marry somebody who don't have faith. Today I'm telling you, don't marry somebody that don't know how to submit to God. Because come on, somebody. Because if they don't submit to God, they won't submit to that marriage. You're going to be going one way. They're going to be going another way. And if somebody don't submit, somebody's neck going to get broke. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to help you save your neck. Come on, somebody. Because when you're yoked up, you're going in the same direction. So the farmer says, let me connect you with somebody who knows how to submit. My brothers and my sisters, you need to connect with mature believers who know how to live a life submitted to God, who has found the joy in submission. Come on. We have found the joy in doing things God's way. We've had enough neck injuries to know that God's way may not always be the easiest way, but it's always the best way. You need to yoke up with somebody that knows how to submit to God and can tell you, I know it's hurt, but it's worth it. I know you're disappointed, but it's worth it. I know you're mad because everybody else is glad, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. I've been yoked up long enough to know it's worth it. His yoke is easy. Come on. Resisting is hard. He says, for my yoke is easy. Come on, the devil want to tell you that God's way is hard. Come on. No, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Now, the more submitted to God you are, the more rest you experience. Let me say that again. The more submitted to God you are, the more rest you experience. God rests in his authority. We rest under his authority. Come on. Let me say it again. God rests in his authority. We rest under his authority. When we rest under his authority, we rest in the fact that things are in order because he's in control. Come on. When we rest under his authority, we rest in the fact that we know that he has a plan. And we don't have to carry it ourselves or figure it out ourselves, because we're resting because he's still resting. And as long as he's resting, we can rest. Come on, somebody. You know, it ain't time to get worried until he gets worried. Come on, somebody. It ain't time to get upset until he's upset. But as long as he is resting in his authority, then we rest under his authority. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. I'm almost done here. Notice he didn't say, if you come to me, you won't have a yoke. He didn't say that. Listen, whether you saved or not, something is going to be around your neck driving you. Come on. Come on. He says, listen, you think because you don't serve me, that you are free? No, you're not free. You're not doing what you want to do. Because you're always saying, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Come on, somebody. He says, you're going to have a yoke. But I'll tell you what, my yoke is easy. Come on, somebody. Woo. And then he says, he didn't say, come to me and you won't have any burdens. He didn't say you won't have any burdens. You're going to have burdens. Guess what? Saints ain't the only ones with burdens. So you leave here because your burdens are too heavy? Guess what? You're going out there and you're going to pick up some more burdens. Why? Because he said, my burdens are light. Come on. You're not going to have a problem-free existence. But the Bible says our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Come on, you're going to have burdens, but Jesus says, my burdens are light. Why? Why are my burdens light? Because I will give you the strength to carry it. It is a heavy burden to rule your own life. That's a heavy burden. You have to worry about everything if you are in control of your life. Hear what I'm saying? You have to worry about everything if you are in control of your life. But if you're not in control of your life, if God is in control of your life, you don't have to worry about anything. You can go to sleep at night. You can get some rest. Why? Because there are things that are going on that you don't have to worry about. Come on, somebody. You can say no thank you to panic and fear because I'm not in control of this. Oh, can I just slide something else in? Let me just say publicly that the CDC isn't in control. Our healthcare system isn't in control. Our president isn't in control. The same one that was in control yesterday is still in control. And his name is Jesus Christ. And there is no God like Jehovah. Come on, somebody. Nobody like him. He's resting in his place of authority. So hear this in conclusion. In this time of global chaos and unrest, Jesus offers us rest. Glory to God. The invitation still stands. You're tired of worrying about what could happen tomorrow? Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. You're tired of that heavy burden that all the newscasters been putting on your mind this week? Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. Come on. You submit to my authority. I'll give you rest. The more we give up self-rule. I don't know who this is for. But the more you give up self-rule and submit to the rule of Christ, the more divine rest you will experience. Would you stand to your feet? This morning we rest in the fact that God is still resting on his throne. Nothing has changed. God is still God, and God is still good. The issue is, have you taken his yoke upon you? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me teach you how to live under the rule of God. And he says this, if you do that, you will find rest for your soul. Now your soul is the center of your personhood. It is the core of your being. It is the place where no disease, no sickness, no condition, no life issue can reach. It is the city where your heart and your mind dwells. So Jesus is offering you rest in a place that nothing can reach. Come on, somebody. Your body can fail, but your soul will last forever. Come on. And he wants to give you rest in the place where the devil can't touch. Lord have mercy. He said, and you will find rest for your soul. The world is in chaos, but we have found rest. That's why the songwriter said, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Lord, have mercy. We got to learn how to live under the rule of God. We're going to take the divine rest, but we're also going to take the divine yoke. For his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your standing invitation to all of us who are weary, heavy laden, who are tired and carrying heavy burdens. You stand with open arms saying to us, come unto me and I'll give you rest. We thank you, Lord, that we have heard your invitation to rest in a season of unrest and to have peace in the time of storms. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, first of all, acknowledging that you are God. You are King and you are Judge. We were created by you and for you. You are Lord of all and you are Lord over us. You are our King and we worship you as our King. You have given us the privilege to not only call you King, but you've given us the privilege to call you Father. And you are a good Father. You provide for us. You protect us. You spend time with us. You comfort us. You strengthen us. You could still be God and not do any of those things. But I thank you that not only are you God, but you are a personal God who cares about us. You care about what's happening to us right now, God. And we thank you that you are not, as some say, the God who created the world and then walked away. You are not that God, but you are a very present help in the time of trouble. And I thank you, God, that you are very present with us right now. We feel your presence with us now. And you made a promise that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you that you have not left us. We are not alone. Hallelujah. But you are with us. King of glory. Hallelujah. You are with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give us the grace to take your yoke upon us. Teach us how to submit to your will. Teach us how to bow down when life gets difficult. Teach us how to submit when we want to go another way. Teach us, God, to submit, God, even when we don't understand what you're doing, God. Lead us with your yoke. Hallelujah. For your yoke is easy. Hallelujah. Oh, we've been in some hard yokes before, but your yoke is easy. And your burdens are light. Thank you, God, that you don't have to remove the burden, but make it light. Hallelujah. So we can testify to the world that even with this yoke, even with these burdens, we are still running and not getting weary. We're still walking and we're not fainting. Hallelujah. For you are with us. Give us wisdom, God. Wisdom to know what to do in these days. Also, God, help us not to waste this opportunity. God, we recognize that this is the perfect opportunity to talk about you. This is the perfect opportunity to invite people to come to Jesus. Let's not be like the world and hide ourselves. But God, let us say, wait a minute. You have set the stage for us to be the light of this world and the salt of the earth. Help us, God, to come out of hiding and tell somebody that Jesus still saves. He still delivers. He's still in control. There's still an answer. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So help us not to spread fear, but spread faith. Come on. Help us, God, to share posts about faith. Help us, God. Hallelujah. To talk about faith. Help us to be reminded that as we are taking precautions to live here, help us not to forget to take precautions to live in eternity. Help us not to forget that any day you could return. In fact, God, you said in your word that when we see these things happening, that we're seeing that we ought to look up, for our redemption draws now. Hallelujah. Our faith looks up to you. Hallelujah. We trust you more now than ever before. Help us to be the light that you have called us to be. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.